Good morning, my friends. This is Missionary James Robinette with Mission Africa. And by the Lord's marvelous grace, I am blessed to come to Him in worship today and in the preaching and teaching ministry of His Word. It is my great blessing to meet with you, dear friend, today also in this time of worship and instruction. Our text today is found once again in Revelation chapter 2, verse 4. That verse reads in the New King James Version of the Holy Bible, "Nevertheless, I have this against you, that you have left your first love." In recent weeks, we have been talking about various aspects related to this truth of a professing believer's leaving their first love in Christ, a fervent, effective love in which he obeys Christ for the most part in his life. Today we'll transition to talk about another aspect related to a Christian's not leaving their first love. Friends, learn more about our ministry, Mission Africa, at www.missionafricajk.home.blog. Let us pray. Lord, how wonderful you are to bless us with the very word of life which is alive and powerful and sharp in the hearts of your truly saved people. And we thank you for this powerful word which always achieves your purpose as you send it forth to all people who hear it, who receive it in some measure. Lord, thank you that the truth is transforming and life-saving in the hearts of your elect, and that you often bring good and move men from sins by the Word of God, even if they are not saved, if they are never saved. Lord, we rejoice that you also have your glory in sending forth the Word of Life as a word of judgment to which all men who receive it must give an account at the last day, when you come with absolute power and majesty and dominion to judge all people that you have made. Lord, we pray that again for your glory, your word would be active and powerful, living and sharp in our hearts during this time of teaching. Bless the word of God. Help people to understand you, Lord, and find you, and so be saved from their sins. We ask this in the name of Jesus. Amen and amen. Today we deal a bit more in depth with the aspect of the Bible's warnings to those who profess a faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. We look at the words of the Lord Jesus himself found in Matthew chapter 7 in verses 21 through 23. Those verses read, "Not everyone who says to me, 'Lord, Lord,' shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, 'Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name, cast out demons in your name, and done many wonders in your name?' And then I will declare to them, 'I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness.'" This is a great example of the fact that God gives warnings to those who take the name of Jesus, that is, who profess the name of Jesus, who declare that they are the followers of Jesus. And we see in the text clearly that not everyone who professes faith in his name, not everyone who calls him Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven. The only man to enter the kingdom of heaven, the kingdom of his Father in heaven, is the man who does what Christ says, who does the will of God. Jesus tells us in this section of verses that it is not a few that will be lost in that great day. It is many who will say to him in that day, in their utmost confusion, "Lord, we are yours. We have spoken the word in your name, prophesied in your name. We have powerfully cast out demons by your power in your name. And we have done many wonders," that is, miracles, "in your name." These many people expect that they shall be saved by the Lord of glory. And yet sadly and terribly, they hear the words of the Lord himself. He declares to them that he never knew them. They profess to have known him and to served him in powerful workings, and yet Jesus says clearly that he never knew them, and they are cast out into damnation. He commands them to depart from him. They are lawless and rebellious. They are those who practice lawlessness, are habitually disobedient, and break the law of God, of the Lord Jesus Christ. In Matthew chapter 13 and verses 1 through 23, we see another biblical example of warnings to those who profess faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Here, as we saw in Matthew chapter 7, that there are many who profess to know the Lord Jesus Christ, who profess a faith in him, who are finally and ultimately lost. There is a clear implication in these section of verses, and that implication deals with the truth that many who say they know him are lost finally, and that those who do know him are obedient to him and are eternally saved from their sins. Hence, God warns those who profess faith in the Lord Jesus Christ in these remarkable ways. In the parable of the sower, a very interesting section of verses, we see that of four different types of people, speaking specifically of four different types of hearts, that only one type of person, only one type of heart is considered acceptable to God. And further, three types of faith are said to be disqualified in the parable, and only one type of faith is accepted by God. The accepted faith, the accepted heart and person is the one who with a good heart obeys Christ and produces good fruit for Christ. We see that Paul also speaks of this matter, that is a warning to those who profess faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, in 1 Corinthians 15 and verses 1 and 2. Those verses read, "Moreover, brethren, I declare to you the gospel which I preached to you, which you also received and in which you stand, by which also you are saved, if you hold fast that word which I preached to you, unless you believed in vain." Jesus, and here Paul, speaks of the sad reality that many who declare a faith in Christ, who profess faith in Christ, are not truly saved. Their lives are marked by lawlessness. Paul here calls that a believing in vain, not holding to the truth of the gospel. Their faith does not overcome the world. It is a worthless faith. They are not saved because they believe in vain. And in 2 Corinthians 13:5, because of the sin that was tolerated in the Corinthian church, Paul writes, "Examine yourselves as to whether you are in the faith. Test yourselves. Do you not know yourselves that Jesus Christ is in you? Unless indeed you are disqualified." The real spiritual condition of the Corinthians was not clear. There was some doubt about it in Paul's mind, and so he tells them to test themselves to see if indeed they are true Christians, because what was clearly evident in their lives was not habitual obedience to Christ, but the toleration of obvious visible sins. And in 1 Timothy in chapter 1, verses 18 through 20, Paul writes, "This charge I commit to you, son Timothy, according to the prophecies previously made concerning you, that by them you may wage the good warfare, having faith and a good conscience, which some, having rejected concerning the faith, have suffered shipwreck, of whom are Hymenaeus and Alexander, whom I delivered to Satan that they may learn not to blaspheme." Once again, Paul's observation of individuals, Hymenaeus and Alexander, whose profession of faith was false. They did not obey Christ. They abandoned Christ. They apostatized. And they did not have saving faith and a good conscience. They had rejected faith and a good conscience. Their faith had been destroyed. Paul's term, interestingly, suffered shipwreck. And Paul lets them go in their course of sin. He says, I have delivered them to Satan to actually not move them to destruction, but to repentance. So we see that Paul's aim, his intent here, is that if he lets them go into sin, if he does not restrain them from sin, try to prevent their going into sin, he probably didn't even address them or talk to them, but simply let them take their own self-chosen course. In this, he delivers them to Satan. They had chosen Satan and his ways. Paul lets them take their course, knowing that Satan is a hard taskmaster and that they will be badly troubled in sin. They will suffer great consequences. They had professed faith in the true and living God, but they had rejected the true and living God. And so the consequences would be very painful, harsh, and severe. Satan would harm them in great and painful ways. And Paul's hope in this is that they have tasted of evil and been so badly affected and harmed by it that they would remember the goodness of God that they had seen in some measure and turn to Christ and therefore repent. And in this repentance, learn not to blaspheme Christ, to blaspheme God. Sadly, their apostasy, their evil words spoken against Christ are here called a blasphemy, a great dishonor of God's very name. These men had turned from faith, and we see again the implication that some who profess faith turn from Christ. Believer in God, hear of these words, do not turn from Christ. Be warned by the example of those who have turned from Christ and trust Christ. Repent of your sins. Follow Christ. Have a fervent love for Christ. The thoughts of a Christian teacher are helpful for us at this point. He has written, the New Testament contains several warning passages. Some are clearly warnings about the dangers of false teachings and false teachers. Others alert believers to the reality of trials or warn of end-time events. And yet there are several passages that warn Christians about their own behavior. Some New Testament warning passages are aimed at those who are part of the visible church, but who do not truly know the Lord Jesus Christ. Such are the warnings in the Epistle to the Hebrews found in Hebrews chapter 6 and Hebrews 10, verse 26. We've mentioned those in previous sermons. The writer continues, the target audience of these passages is unbelievers who are associated with the church and have been exposed to God's redemptive truth. Perhaps they've even made a profession of faith, or, let me add, been baptized, become church members, have become active in ministry, but they have not exercised genuine saving faith. If they continue to reject Christ, they will be lost forever. We understand in this that Paul, as an example of biblical writers, contrasts true faith, which results in eternal salvation, with mere intellectual assent or a mere emotional reaction. These are worthless in the salvation of their souls. So that Paul warns professing Christians not to be like those who fall away from Christ, who have professed faith in Christ. The writer continues, many religious people who claim to serve God do not truly know the Lord. The matter of salvation is of utmost importance, and many New Testament warning passages are meant to cause professed believers to examine themselves to ensure they truly have put their faith in Christ. This is such an important point, and this is such an important teaching, dear listener. The matter of lost people, people who are not born again, and yet who profess a faith in Christ, who confess to know Christ, who come to church, who even serve in the church, who even preach, who are active in evangelism, who sing in the choir, who serve in various capacities, who have been baptized, who appear to be good moral people, but are yet unregenerated, and who have never truly trusted Christ, have never truly put their faith in Christ, who are unregenerated, and who many times eventually completely apostatize and fall away from the faith. Or, as is true many times too, continue in a profession of faith, but then simply cool to the things of Christ so that they leave the worship of God and never come back into the worship of God. Both types of professing people, those who are unregenerated, are finally lost. But the Christian writer encourages us. Scripture teaches that we can know we are saved. 1 John 5:13, I write these things to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life. And Hebrews 12:2 says that Jesus himself is the author and finisher of our faith, that is, the one who began it and will complete it, and that God will finish the work of salvation in his people. Philippians 1:6, and believers are called to live in holiness, and false professors of faith are called to repent and trust in Christ for salvation. The need for believers to avoid sin and the need for false converts to stop pretending necessitate the warning passages of Scripture. And in these thoughts, we have a clear word, a truly biblical word. This is a biblical teaching that those who profess to believe in Christ are to live in holiness, and that those who are not converted, who profess faith in Christ, are to trust Christ with all of their hearts and to truly repent of their sins and so truly be saved from their sins. I can share an example of this. When I was first saved, I attended a Bible teaching church in California, and a member of the church, a man that I knew fairly well and who was quite active in ministry, he played a musical instrument in the worship team, in fact, who was seen most Sundays as he participated in the worship team, in leading the worship of God, who was a moral man, a good man, who we thought was truly saved, actually was not saved. And by the marvelous grace of God, because of the ministry of a visiting preacher who brought this very truth to the hearts of the church, that is, that there are lost people in the church who profess a faith in Christ and who do not truly repent, are to trust in Christ, to turn from their sins, to truly repent, to come to Christ and so be saved. The man that I was describing heard that message. It came true to him in his heart, and he later shared with the church that he was a lost man, though he appeared to be a Christian, but that he truly repented. He saw his lost condition for the reality that it was. He stopped pretending. He truly entrusted his life, his destiny to Christ. He truly turned from the sin of unbelief, repented of this terrible, damning sin, and was saved from his sin, and then became a faithful and humble and obedient servant of the Lord Jesus Christ. This is not a rare condition. This is a condition which is true in churches everywhere in the world, and sadly, this is true of churches in Uganda. It is my personal view that there are many, many professing believers in Uganda's churches who are not truly regenerated. They're just simply going through the motions. And the real tip-off to their sins, their many sins, openly accepted fornication, theft, openly accepted lying. Sadly, the church simply winks at these sins. The church does not see these as serious issues, does not discipline such sins. But people who commit open sin are accepted as believers. That's a great error in the church. That's actually a sin that helps people to damnation, does not help people to Christ. Their sin is not confronted. But their great sin, perhaps the greatest sin, is their unbelief. They have not heeded the commandment of Christ, the commandment of God, to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, as we find it in 1 John chapter 3, and they refuse to repent of this sin of not believing in the Lord Jesus Christ with all of their hearts, according to Acts chapter 17, God's commandment to them. And so they are disobedient and finally lost if they do not repent. Sadly, too, there is a lack of clear, searching, deeper preaching, bringing these truths into people's hearts in Uganda, that they might see that they are truly saved, as my friend in California did. Upon hearing a depth and quality of preaching and teaching that actually touched him deeply in the inner man, brought conviction. That type of preaching is not often accepted. It is not wanted because people are quite happy to tolerate sins in their lives, in their church, even open sins, which are clearly indications biblically that a person who lives in such sin is not saved, is disqualified from the faith. Dear listener, if you find by the gracious light of God upon hearing this teaching today that you are not truly saved, that you are a mere professor of faith in Christ but a lost person, let me encourage you now from your heart by the grace of God. Heed the words of the Lord Jesus Christ. He is near you. Believe in him with all your heart and be saved from this perverse and crooked generation. Repent of all your sin as he commands you, and you shall be saved in the marvelous grace of God. I must encourage you, professing believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, to live in practical holiness, heeding the warnings of Christ, knowing that there are lost people who profess faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, even in your very church. Let each who are listening today be saved from their sins, believing on him for everlasting life. He is the King, eternal, immortal. He is God over all, the Lord Jesus Christ, who alone is wise, honorable, and glorious. And dominion and power and majesty are his now and forever. Amen. Amen. Friends, let us pray. Father, thank you. I pray that your word, this teaching, these truths would be as a sharp, piercing, two-edged sword that would reveal the hearts of many, that they would see in this, in the light of your word, that indeed they are lost, damned souls, that they must truly believe in Christ and truly repent of their sins and so be saved from their sins. Prick them in their hearts with conviction and cut them to the heart. May they be pained in true spiritual repentance, coming to mourn for their sin, turning to Christ as their hope, as their Savior from the eternal wrath of God. Save people, Lord. Save your people today in Uganda. Have your glory in your church. Strengthen and encourage those who are truly saved to hold fast to you in holiness. Save the lost. We give you praise and thanks, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. And so, my friends, until next Lord's Day morning, may the Lord bless you.